Right now, as we mentioned, welcome in Matt Stockton from the Research Center. Matt, good to see you back in the studio. Glad that we have the power on for you this time.
Well, it's good to know that we got things back together.
Somewhat. It was kind of funny. I was talking about it earlier this hour on the program. It's so funny to find out that a couple blocks can make such a big difference on the power grid. I know some of the downtown community had just gotten power back on when we lost it over here. So just a few blocks can make a big difference on the power grid.
It seems like it does. Our power went out about 20 minutes before yours did at home. So, yeah, it sure must vary.
Yeah, it is. Sure is interesting. Now, Matt, joining us for the first time in the studio here in the 2021 calendar year. Can you remind us of your title at the extension, Matt?
Yeah. Well, so much for a title, but I'm an extension specialist, and I do research and extension for the University of Nebraska. My title is agriculture economist, farm management specialist.
So obviously, you work a lot in the agriculture realm of things with a lot of producers, a lot of farmers and ranchers.
Absolutely, with them and with research and trying to help out in different ways across the state.
Absolutely. And last year, sure, they encountered a lot with the COVID-19 pandemic and helping producers maneuver and navigate that difficult economic climate.
Well, you know, some of them had a harder time than others. I think the livestock producers were hit much harder. It was much more difficult because of animals stoppage. You know, the slaughterhouses were some shut
yeah.
down. And so
sale barns shut up. It was
tough.
Yeah.
Tough deal. Fortunately, there's been enough demand that I think so things have come back pretty good for them.
Yeah, there was a lot of demand early on in the pandemic, too. A lot of demand for that good quality meat that we have here, that good quality beef we have throughout the good life. And that demand went over into the retail side of things. You remember the shortage we had of deep freezers for a little while?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting. Well, the thing is, too, it wasn't that. What's so funny is that the pandemic created a shortage of supply of people to process the meat more than it created a shortage of the actual product itself, because the product would have been available. I mean, they euthanized hogs. They did all kinds of things that were really. Some producers really had a difficult time, some more than others.
And there's a big, big waiting list at some of the sale barns, at some of the butcher shops, too. I mean, there's a big waiting list. Not that there's a shortage of cattle or hogs or what have you. It's just a long waiting list. Only so many people that can do so many jobs.
Right, and it's a tough deal because, I mean, like some products like wheat, you can just put it in a bin, it'll be fine.
Sure.
Or corn, you know, it'll keep for a while anyway. You're not going to keep that market hog at the right weight for a long period of time, and they get stale after a while. And then the processing plants, they get too big. And there's all kinds of things. So meat, especially the animals, are a little bit more, have a narrower window of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention, you have to house them and feed them for that extra time, too, and try to keep that balanced weight on, like you had mentioned. It's a real balancing act, and a lot of science goes into it.
Well, not only that, here's even the bigger problem. So let's say I'm a producer, and I'm producing continuously, like hog farmers seem to have it worse than that. So I have inventory in my hog barns, and I only have so many hog barns. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Except for the hogs never left, so what do I do with the ones that are coming next week?
Exactly. I mean, there's not like you can make a new hog barn within a week either,
no,
too.
No, it doesn't work out. So
Unless you want to call in Moses to do some amazing construction for you.
Yeah. So I think the agriculture people, just as much as everyone had to do their part and is doing their part in this pandemic. And I think that these are the times that, you know, it's difficult for people, but I think that we've got some great people and great producers, and people are hanging in there tough. So I'm really proud of the business that I'm in.
You know, and it's kind of interesting too, because farmers and ranchers are used to encountering problems with the market. They're used to encountering problems with Mother Nature. A global pandemic, the COVID-19 virus, not a problem that producers were necessarily prepared for, one that they expected to come.
Well. A short window of devastation is probably would have been okay, but the problem is it kept getting longer and longer and longer,
dragging on.
So they were able to make allowances for a few short weeks, but the long period was difficult for them anyway.
No, absolutely. And now we know this week, not so much with our producers battling the COVID-19 virus. That's an ongoing battle, as we know. But this week, the problem seems to be these bitter cold temperatures. I mean, you think about how much we're struggling with it as humans. The cattle, the hogs, they're all struggling with it too outdoors, and the producers try to keep them warm. I know a lot of folks, specifically in the Sandhills, probably calving right now.
Well, yeah, it's going to be early for some, but there will be some. I mean, obviously, February, March, April, or probably March and February are the early calvers. And so they're going to have calving going on. And, you know, this is when you get frozen ears and you get all kinds of, you know, especially if you don't have any housing. There are people that do have housing and whatnot. It's difficult. And, you know, this is when usually cattle have more problems in the cold than they do in the warmer weather as far as calving difficulties, I believe. So there are some concerns and issues that producers have to face. And it's an ongoing process. I mean, I think people should recognize, though, that the amount of food and the amount of products that the United States absolutely, the producers here do, is just an amazing feat, because we have actually more food in the world than we have enough to actually feed everybody, which in the time and the history of the world is an amazing feat. So, you know, I mean, we do have our struggles, and yes, pandemics do come and go. And I guess, you know, it's kind of one of those once-in-a-lifetime deals, because, you know, I imagine the Spanish flu back in the early 1900s would have been a similar situation.
Not a lot of folks can remember those days, though, so it's a lot of similarities when we look at the historical evidence of it, but we've got some old producers in the area, but not any that are that old.
Well, if they are, boy, they're hanging in there really good.
Oh, absolutely they are.
They're going to be over 110 years old, so here we go. I mean, that's it.
Hopefully they're not pulling any calves here this winter or spring then.
Yeah, better get some help.
Oh, and Matt, we know, too, with these colder temperatures, a lot of the cattle, a lot of the other livestock, eating a little bit more, too. That's just kind of the natural response to these colder temperatures. They have to eat a little bit more. If they're out on stocks, they're probably coming in a little bit more. I imagine the majority of producers probably don't have cattle out on stocks at this point, do they?
Well, okay, the problem with corn, okay, cattle, believe it or not, can take the cold a lot better than you think.
Really?
In fact, a cow probably reaches her norm. At 40 degrees, she feels comfortable. She doesn't have to make any heat or lose excess heat.
Okay.
That's at 40 degrees. So at 20 below, they can handle it if the wind and there's no water.
Sure.
And I mean, it has, you know, okay, so they can handle the outside pretty well. I mean, as long as, you know, they're nutritionally have the what they need.
As long as they're healthy.
Right, right.
Have a good wind block,
now,
too.
Now, pigs don't. That's why we don't have wild pigs running around Nebraska like they do everywhere down south, thank goodness. But, you know, what I'm saying is the cattle. So, and believe it or not, these temperatures, okay, they are bad, and this has been the longest cold snap we've had for a long time. But I'm not sure where global warming went. Okay, if this is global warming, I'm concerned. Okay, so global cooling would be a disaster.
Global cooling.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not judging by one event, but
sure.
But I you know, every time there's a hurricane or something, somebody screams global warming or whatever, and I'm going, well, guys, I think we just have climate variation, and that's just that's the way life is, and there's cities that are underwater that used to be around, but they got flooded and have been flooded for thousands of years because of so-called global warming. So I'm not sure that we have a lot of control over it. So to me, I'm concerned about, you know, all these things we're doing. But cold and these kinds of things, you know, producers, a lot of these guys, they cope with it. It doesn't mean it's great. It doesn't mean it's wonderful. And whatever, but they realize that it possibly could be that way. It's just like these guys are they're thinking about drought. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went into this year with dry conditions, and I think they're just as concerned or more concerned, some of them, about that than they are right now. The cold is the immediate thing, but the drought situation that may appear or may not appear coming up, this is a concern, because that means, do I have enough grass? Those concerns are really what, you know, and they should be pressing on their mind, because you need to start thinking about a drought plan now if there's going to be a drought. And so I'm sure a lot of these guys are getting prepared and thinking about what they're going to do this year if there isn't the grass, and where they've got to jockey animals around to, or how many animals they need to kind of sell off,
act.
You know, get rid of the cull animals early. I mean, there's a lot of things and a lot of strategies they should be thinking about, and I'm sure that most of them are, because they're, you know, we've got a lot of good producers.
Oh yeah, and they're always thinking ahead. You always have to think almost two steps ahead. talking about the drought, it's great to see we have so much of this moisture piled up, and it's going to be great to watch it burn into the ground. I'd love to watch it soak up a little bit, but that is one good thing. It's been awfully dry here to start the year, and that was thankfully changed here in the past couple of weeks.
And you know, hopefully this trend will continue, so we'll have lots of grass for the cattlemen in the sand hills and whatnot, because you know it's a tough deal when you have a ranch that's supposed to support X amount of cattle, and X is too many. So where do you go with it? How do you do it? I mean, obviously some of these guys have different plans. Some people have, what they do is they have a cow herd and then they have yearlings, and so they necessarily don't run the yearlings to keep the excess grass for the cows, which is a pretty good strategy. We got other guys that call a few early and keep calling down. We have people that do early calving. All these are strategies you need to think about and be prepared for. The thing that you have to remember in a drought, especially if it's a localized drought, is that it's going to affect you, and you have to be really, really careful, because if you wait too long to do something or plan, you may find yourself paying either too much for feed or ending up selling cattle at a time when cattle prices are tanking.
When the market's bad.
When it's tanking because of oversupply. Everybody's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about all those things and prepare for those kinds of things. And it's not easy. And I notice I haven't got any cows.
Now, Matt, tell us about the importance of having a good wind block too. If there's producers out there that are realizing right now they might need to change their plans with wind blocks they have set up, or maybe they realize, my goodness, it's not what it was last year, and they need to rethink things. Tell us about the importance of that, and tell us how you personally can help.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm not an animal scientist. So I hate to comment on wind blocks.
Sure.
When I'd be speaking from my, I would be no more better talking to me than to the guy down the street. So I'm not sure.
You might be better than Joe down the street.
Well, maybe I would. I mean, obviously, I mean, I do have an animal science degree as well, but we won't talk about that. But that's not at the PhD level.
Sure.
But I do understand and do know that, animals can be affected by temperature, especially in a situation where there's wind. And I think that, you were talking about corn stalks, and I never answered your question.
Oh, yeah,
so I want to answer
there's
that question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get out of this wind block question. So, but the question about corn stalks are great, and they're fine right now, as long as they don't freeze and thaw and you get an ice layer between the corn stalks and the cows.
Okay.
So the main thing is the cows can get through soft snow and they can get down to the
sure.
to the feed. The main value of corn stalks is not the stalk itself. The stalk is really actually crappy feed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you really don't really want them to eat too much of it. I mean, they can eat some of it, and they need to, and they will.
Some is fine.
Some is fine. But what the first thing that they eat is the husk from the ears, so that when the ears come out, the husk is there.
Mm-hmm.
The husk are absolutely very nutritious. The leaves of the plant that have perished, that are just dried, those are very nutritious. And those are the nutritious parts of the plant. And then, of course, obviously, there's the combine left a few ears here and there. I mean, the cows really like that.
Oh,
I mean, obviously, that's like the hey.
Icing on the cake.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, cow cocaine. Anyway, so those are the things that you want to see ate up. So if you got corn stalks, you want to be really, really, concerned, especially if you're going to be in there a long time and you're starting to see that the stalks, I mean, all the leaves are gone, all the husks are gone. You may not have, because sometimes the wind blows that stuff around, mm-hmm. can blow it off the field. So, you got to look at the nutrition level, because just because you have stalks out there doesn't necessarily mean the cows are getting the nutrition they need. And people monitor that and recognize
sure.
that.
Sure. And well, there's a benefit, too, for having the cattle out in the field, too. I know there's a lot of folks out there that if they don't have cows or take cows in, they rent out the pasture after harvest to have cattle out there on stalks, because it's kind of a win-win. There's a benefit for farmers having those cattle out there on the ground, some of the natural fertilizer that they can provide for you, too.
Absolutely. The thing is, a lot of farmers have been concerned in the past about compaction issues, but if you manage it properly and don't put the cows out there or don't keep them out there until the ground gets really super soft and if it's muddy and so it can compact and stuff. But even then, cattle they may congregate in one or two spots, and there may be one or two spots that might have an issue if you kind of overdo it. But the truth of the matter is, most of the research points to the fact that you're not going to get a lot of loss or a loss of productivity. And, corn was $10 a bushel. Hell, okay, maybe you want to you know, be concerned you lose a bushel or two, but that, you know, especially if you're only running it for $10 an acre or something, and you get an extra two bushels per acre. I mean, there's $20 versus $10. Well, I'm going to take the $20 every time.
Absolutely.
So, but it's not going to, you know, it's not going to take, and there are benefits, and there are things that you can do. The other thing, too, is that our corn stocks, especially as you go out west, if you'll notice that corn stock grazing increases as you go west in Nebraska.
Okay.
And the reason is it has a lot to do with availability of feed and stuff. In fact, there's people out west that they try to stay on corn stocks till the end of April, which Well, you plant later as you go west.
Yep.
Right? Because your elevation. It's an elevation thing, right? So you plant later because the season starts later. And so, but there's people that try to keep their cows on that as long as they can, because it is really, really good feed in the sense that it can maintain a cow pretty much as long as she's not lactating. The minute she starts lactating, all of a sudden her energy needs go way off the scale.
Skyrockets.
And you're going to have to supplement, or you're going to have to do feed a better quality hay.
Sure.
And that's why people hay their cows and do some other things. So, you know, as long as you're maintaining your balanced ration type idea, you got that made. Anyway, that's kind of what that is.
Matt, we do need to wrap up. Is there anything else you wanted to add this morning, sir?
Well, the only thing I would say is that one of the things that we run at the center is a thing called the TAPS program, which stands for Testing Agriculture Performance Solutions.
Sure.
And on the 27th of March, we're going to have a meeting. But if you're interested in it, go to the website. I think it's taps.unl.edu.
Mm-hmm.
It may be backwards from that, but
I think that sounds right, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
Somewhere Chuck bursts in on the edge of his seat going, no.
Yeah, well, Chuck and I, we get along pretty good. I love Chuck. But, you know, this program is an amazing program in the sense that you actually get to test your farming skills against others, and that you get to be part of something and see how you could test out different ideas about how to grow your crops and what to do without having that bad experience of paying for it.
Yeah. It's a unique opportunity, and that's coming up. Do you say this month or next month?
Well, the meeting is this month on March 27th.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's going to be an in-person, but you can go to the website. And we still have a couple spaces if anybody's still interested in signing up.
Awesome. Matt, we appreciate the time. It's always good to see you in the studio. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
More coming up on Mugs of the Morning after a quick news break here on KODY.